2 Thessalonians, if you'll stand, chapter 3, I want to read 3 verses, and God willing, I'll read these 3 verses each time the Lord helps us to see. I'm not looking too far ahead. I only looked at Romans chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians, the last chapter. And 1 Corinthians, I believe it might be chapter 16 as well. Is that right? Yes. And I'll give you the thought. The Bible said in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "Now the Lord of peace himself," I like that, don't you? "Give you peace always by all means." You remember Jesus told his disciples, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world." Sister Jane, the world don't know anything about that peace. They know about the tears, but they don't know about the peace. And I think about Brother Doyle's wife and the trial that she went through the week before last. And when I went to the hospital, it's humbling. She said, "I laid here all night and thought, my pastor's praying. My pastor's praying. My pastor's praying." And it's important that we pray, amen, and pray one for another, amen. He said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And then this is where this was birthed in my heart. Verse 17, "The salutation of Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Brother Jason came to me after church this morning. He said, "Pastor, as soon as you read that and as soon as you said that," he said, "I've always wondered, did Paul really write the book of Hebrews?" And he said, "I went there and looked," and I said, "That's kind of strange, brother." Because when God showed me that right there, the first thing I did, Brother Steve, was went to the book of Hebrews. And then I looked at every epistle, and Paul closes every epistle with "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. I want to talk tonight again about the importance of God's grace. You can be seated. Pray for us, please. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for our people. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord, over at Oak Glen tonight, they're ordaining a young man to preach the gospel, Brother Cody Jones. God, I pray for Brother Cody. I pray it'd be a great service. Pray you'd help Brother Jeff as he preaches, whoever else preaches tonight. I pray, God, you'd just come down in mighty power. And Lord, maybe there'd be a spark of revival there. God, I do pray for Brother Don up above Charlottesville preaching tonight and preaching this week. God, I pray you'd strengthen the man of God. Lord, he is so precious to us. And I pray, Lord, you'd help him. Help his sweet wife, Lord. Give him traveling mercies, our Lord, as they come back home. Then, Lord, give us a good meeting this weekend here in the house of God as we, Lord, have the Sunday services, our Lord, and then the revival services, the special singing. May you just be a part of all of it, our Lord, and help us, our Lord, to be obedient. Lord, those that are sick today, and there are many, I pray you touch them. I pray, Lord, you touch Sister Donna, touch Brother Craig, our Lord. God, I pray especially for those, our Lord, that are in sin, those that have never been saved. I pray, Lord, you'd touch their hearts. Draw them, our Father, with cords of compassion to yourself. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turning back to the book of 1 Corinthians, we looked at the last chapter there in the book of Romans this morning. And we look at the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16. And in verse number 19, let's read this for just a moment, and then we'll bounce back into the chapter. "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house. And all the brethren greet thee, greet you one another with a holy kiss." I guess they didn't have COVID back then, Brother Steve. Amen. We're worried about our hands, amen. They're greeting one another with a holy kiss. Then he said, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, let him be anathema maranatha, which means accursed. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all. In Christ Jesus, amen. I want to talk tonight about the grace, the importance of God's grace in the life of the believer. And Paul closes out each one of these final words, the final chapters in the epistles that he writes to the churches and to individuals. He writes an epistle to Titus. He writes an epistle to Timothy. And we're going to go through them and just look at some things surrounding the grace of God. We talked about this morning in Romans chapter 16, how that the grace of God, we need that grace. And Paul showed us how to magnify the saints. It wasn't a one-man show. It was name after name after name after name. Names that are hard to pronounce, but yet Paul thought it necessary to mention them. I want to tell you something, beloved. If I lived down here, nobody ever mentioned my name. As long as my name's read when that book's opened that day. That's all, beloved, I'd want to hear. Amen. Hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. And I tell you, beloved, listen tonight. I believe Paul showed us the grace of God and that it wasn't all about him. He wanted us to know. He wanted the world to know that what was going on in Rome was not just because the missionary was there, but he had help from God's people. You know, when we talk about what's going on next Saturday, that's what we need. We need help from God's people. We need God's people just to come together and work together. Amen. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something for the glory of God Almighty. We saw the grace to magnify the saints, then the grace to identify the spoiler. We talked about how that Paul talked about there would be division, those that would come in and cause division. And it takes the grace of God, beloved. Listen, dads, the husbands in our church, we're supposed to look out for our home. Say amen. The spoiler's trying to get into our home. The pastor and the deacons are supposed to look out for the house of God. The spoiler is trying to come in. He wants to spoil what we have in the house of God. Amen. And then every one of us as individual Christians need to understand there's a spoiler that wants to come in and spoil our testimony and our life that God wants to count for His glory. And then we need grace to glorify the Savior. Tonight I'm looking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 at some grace, and Paul is closing it out with grace as well. And I'll give you three things tonight. First of all, I see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the offering. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Look in verse number 6, chapter 16 and verse number 1. The Bible said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul is talking about here an offering. I want to give you something tonight. Listen, if you'll see me after church, I'll show you. But I got a text today. I'm telling you, talk about a pastor's heart swelled with praise. I got pictures from Mozambique. I got pictures from Malawi. And Brother Keith said, friend said, pray for us. We've preached in Mozambique this week, and we're headed to Malawi next week. And I got some pictures, Brother Steve. Maybe I can send these to you. Maybe we'll get them up next Sunday. I'm telling you, that man of God's in my heart. That work is in my heart. And listen, it's all because, listen to me. You say, Pastor, you're talking about an offering. Yes, I'm thanking God for a people
that don't just sit there, amen, but they see, hey, there's people that need the gospel. There's people that need, amen, somebody to love them. People that need to hear the preaching. People that need a roof over their head. People that need a well drilled so they can have some fresh water to drink, amen. People that need some clothes on their back. Little youngins that's had their necks wrung and their hands and arms burned. But thank God there's a people in America that can see it's bigger than we are. And we're willing to give an offering, amen, to help. Let me tell you something right now. That little boy, that little girl in that orphanage that says yes to Jesus is just as much a child of God as this preacher is. And he's just as important in the family of God as any one of us is tonight. It's a blessing tonight to see the grace of God in the offering. Beloved, a lot of people say, well, now preacher, don't you start on that tithing. I didn't start that. God did. Let me tell you something. They'll say, well, that tithing's under the law. Study your Bible. Abraham was given tithes to Melchizedek before the law ever come along. And you know what God did to Abraham? He just blessed him and blessed him and blessed him some more. I was sitting there on the bench and I was thinking, if a person, let's just say they made $50,000 a year in tithe for 30 years, that's $150,000. You say, Pastor, that's a lot of money. That's a big chunk of money. Let me tell you what I found out a long time ago. God can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. I remember the day my daddy stood up and testified. He used to hang around and leave enough work undone on Saturday on purpose so he'd have that excuse to go back and support his family and work on Sunday. Amen. And daddy said, I figured out God can get more done in 6 days than I can get done in 7. I belong in the house of God. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible said, will a man rob God? I'll tell you this tonight. If you do, beloved, you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating God. He owns the cattle on 100 hills, on all the 1,000 hills, and he owns the hill itself as well. Amen. God wants us to know there's grace in the offering. Let me show you something about the offering. I've had people say this, oh, tithing, that's Old Testament. That's not New Testament. Let me see where I want to turn here tonight. There's a place I want to turn to. Luke chapter number 18 to start with tonight. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. And beloved, let me just say this to you tonight. The Bible said that God loves a cheerful giver. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, if God has to pull it out of you, amen, you've never learned the truth that Jesus paid it all. You say 10% we owe, no, all to him we owe. Amen. Watch what the Word of God tells us here. I believe it's in Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 12. The Bible said, well, let me read it. Go back and read it. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Beloved, here's a man bragging. I'm going to tell you something right now. We tithe because we love. We don't tithe to brag. Say amen. I believe, listen, you say, well, Pastor, is tithing a form of bragging? No, it's a form of witnessing, no. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to Luke chapter number 11 for just a moment. Luke chapter number 11. Let me show you a passage of Scripture I think many don't know is in the Word of God. In Luke chapter number 11, I believe it is in verse number 42. I hope I've got the right reference wrote down here. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe men and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Now this is the words of Jesus. He said, these ought ye to have done. Now watch this now. Jesus wasn't saying you shouldn't have tithed. He said you ought to have done that, but he said this, and not to leave the other undone. Can you see that right there in the Scripture? Jesus is not saying that it's not right to tithe. Amen. Watch what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 7. I think that it's the grace of God. When a person experiences the grace of God, beloved, they want to give. They want to help. Amen. They want to help in the work. They want to help others. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 7, look at verse number 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. He's talking about Melchizedek, if you read in verse 1. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Watch this now. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Here's where we're going to get into. Look at verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. When a child of God, beloved, takes a tithe and an offering and gives it unto the Lord, you know what they're doing? They're saying, I believe with all of my heart, he's alive and well. I'm going to face him one day. I'm going to answer, beloved, listen, for what I've done. Amen. With what God has blessed me with. And I'm going to answer in proportion to the blessing that God has given me. I'll tell you something, beloved, tonight. I think sometime or another, we're to have another one of them Sundays where we give God what we've been keeping and keep what we've been giving God. Amen. You say, Pastor, we can't afford that. I'll tell you what, God knows what we can do. Say amen. God's been good to us. And we've never, in all these 9 years, never had to worry about paying the bills. And I thank God, as Brother Steve said a while ago, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But I want you to know, beloved, listen, we're not somebody because we tithe. We tithe because we've understood the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that men and women in this world can turn loose of what belongs to God and give it to him cheerfully. Amen. Give it to him, not begrudgingly. I wonder sometimes if you hadn't or just set on it, if you have to give it grudgingly. Say amen. You can't give it cheerfully after what he's done for us at Calvary. Then why, amen, even bother? So we see here in the end of Corinthians, we see the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus in the offering. I appreciate that, don't you? Then I want you to see this. I'd already, God is so good. I'd already been thinking about Brother Keith and Sister Sandra because he used this verse, Brother Steve, when he was here with us. I believe he used it in Sunday school. My memory's not real good, but I know he used it. I believe this is the verse he used in Sunday school. Look at verse number 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I'll give you two more things in the message tonight. Here's the second one. The first one, we see the grace of our Lord Jesus in the offering. You know, we talked a little bit this morning about the IRS. Did you know that there's people? I've sat down with financial people before. Listen to me carefully. Be careful who you sit down with. You ain't got no business sitting down with somebody that ain't a Christian. Say amen. They don't understand, Brother Steve, why you can't make two ends come together and you would take 10% automatically and give it to God and give it to the church. They don't understand that. But I'm going to tell you something God's people understand. Say amen. You can't outgive God. I promise you, you can't do it. But I'm going to show the grace of God not only in the offering, but I want you to see the grace of God in the opening. Beloved, listen, Paul knew that he had been able to go to Rome and that he was going to go to other places and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to preach in their synagogues. He was going to have a burden for the Jew. He was called to preach to the Gentile, but that never stopped him from having a burden for the Jew. You know what Paul knew? It's the grace of God that he was able to stand where he stands because it was God that had opened the door. Amen. I thought about Brother Keith's testimony, how that he sat and mine, listen, I'm not in Africa, But it was much the same way. I can remember a Tuesday night after I was saved on Sunday night, walking into my pastor's office and telling my pastor, "Pastor, I didn't come in here to tell you what I'll do or what I won't do. I come in here to tell you I'll do anything you need me to do. If you need me to paint something, I'll paint it. If you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. I just want God to use my life." Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. God, ever since, Brother Wayne, has opened door after door after door after door after door. It's God that opens doors that no man can shut, and shuts doors that no man can open. Amen. And so I see the grace of God in the opening. Take your Bible and look at Revelation chapter 3 for just a moment. Revelation chapter number 3. You say, "Pastor, you act like you're excited." No, I'm not acting. I am excited. You know what I believe? Listen to me. I sat here and I looked at the tracks. Now, I'm not fussing tonight. Thank God for the tracks that are gone. But every one of these tracks ought to be gone. Somebody should have come to an altar and prayed over it before the service or after service and said, "God, would you open the door?" Brother John, you talked about this. You talked about witnessing and that God has to open the door. But I'm going to tell you something. God will open more doors if we'll ask Him to open more doors. If we'll just say, "God, would you open the door? Would you show me this week who I can give this to? Would you open the door that I might be an effective witness for the glory of God?" I believe God will open the door, don't you? I know He will. What the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. You can say whatever you want to. You live your life 6 months at a time and never say a word for Christ. You can say whatever you want to. You're not going to stand before God and say, "Well, God did open the door." No. Hey, we're going to have to be sensitive. And we're going to have to ask Him to open the door. Amen. I was telling somebody, it was Brother Dewey over at the funeral yesterday, Brother Junior. I was telling Brother Dewey about a fellow that he was in Wise, Virginia. I bought a lot of ammunition, several guns, arrows, a bow or two off of him over the period of the 5.5 years I was up there. He had a little business that he called the Powder Keg. And I had it in my mind. His wife had visited our church twice. His wife said that she was saved. I never saw anything out of her that would prove otherwise. She did not attend church regularly. She came twice. I heard that she had cancer. I drove from where we live now to Wise. I had this plan, Brother Steve, in my mind. If I go up there and I show some concern and I have prayer with this lady, the day's going to come. The cancer was bad and she wasn't going to live long. And then I can go back to the funeral and perhaps I can win her husband that I prayed for years and years. And I had this in my mind. And so I went up there and I said to the lady, I said, "Honey, are you sure you've been saved?" She said, "Yes." And when you've got stage 4 cancer and you're living on the threshold of death, I don't think it's a time to play any games. I believe she was saved. I really do. Well, listen to what happened. 2 weeks later, it broke my heart. 2 weeks later, she's in Johnson City getting a treatment for the cancer. And she goes home and they can't get in. So they have to get somebody to get them in the house. And her husband was slumped over the sink with a heart attack. Dead. Brother Steve, when I heard that, I said, "Oh God, why didn't I turn to Him that very day?" You see, we don't see the urgency. Say amen. We don't understand you don't have to have cancer to die. And you don't have to be diagnosed with anything to die. Beloved, God's going to call people's number. And ready or not, they're leaving this world. But I was telling Brother Dewey, I said, this fellow, I was telling him about that, and I said, this fellow, I bought a gun off of him, Brother Steve. And I looked at him. His name was Turtle. I said, "Turtle, you're going to throw in a box of shells, ain't you?" I'm talking about an open door, right? You know what he said? "When's the last time you ever got anything for free in this world?" I promise you, 30 minutes later, he wished he hadn't asked that question. Amen. Because I sure did tell him about a salvation that cost Jesus His life. But it's a free gift that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. God opens doors The book of Revelation, I believe, is chapter number 3. And it's God's grace, amen, that opens the door. In verse number 8, he said in verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. How many say tonight we at least got a little strength? Say amen. Well, you know what we can do with a little strength, Brother Wayne? We can step through that door that God opens for us. Amen. We can go and do what God wants us to do by the grace of God. No wonder Paul said, this is the token I'm going to close every epistle with. I'm going to close with the grace of God. Oh, beloved, I hope I can close out my life in the grace of God. I hope I can close out, beloved, showing grace to others and experiencing the grace of God myself. So we see God's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus in the offering. We see the grace of our Lord Jesus in the opening. But I want to show you this tonight, and I believe it's just as important. We need the grace of our Lord Jesus in the opposing or in the opposition. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Just as sure as there's an open door. I don't know how many times through these 30-some years that I've been in someone's home, and Brother Mike, they have listened to the gospel, and God is just reeling them in. Y'all know what I mean, don't you? And I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, it's either the phone, or it's a youngin', or it's a dog, or it's a neighbor. All of a sudden, something is trying. Beloved, listen to me. We're in a spiritual warfare. This is not a picnic. It's a battle. Amen. And beloved, when God is dealing with a soul, the enemy comes in and he opposes that. And Paul understood that. He said, God has set before me a great and effectual door. He opened the door, but he said, there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. I will say this tonight. You may not agree with me. Sometimes we're our own adversary. Did y'all understand what I just said? Sometimes, beloved, this flesh gets in the way. I don't know about you, but I'm prone to run too fast in life. Is anybody else prone like that? Is anybody else prone to run right past the blessing? I'll never forget Brother Don preaching one time. He hadn't been here too long, and he said something about heaven and talked about the gate. And he said something like this, I believe the pastor's going to enjoy it if he don't run past it. Amen. Now, I might not have got that exactly right, but I remember what it done in my heart. I said, you're right, preacher. You're right. Sometimes we're too wide open, and we don't take time to listen, and we don't take time to see the open door that God has put right in front of us. And sometimes it's our own fault. The devil don't even have to bother us because we've got enough flesh in the way to keep us from doing and being what God would have us to be. We see the opposition. We need the grace of God in facing the opposing opposition. Let me give you several things here and I'm done. We're opposed. You say, Pastor, I don't know why God's people are opposed. Number one, we're opposed because of the work. Look at verse 10 and 11. Now, if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord. You tell me what could be said of any man. Brother Steve, what could be said of any man better than he worketh the work of the Lord? He worketh the work of the Lord. Y'all remember me that Sunday we talked about reaching others and soul winning? Remember the two extremes? Calvinism's over here. Calvinism says they're already going to hell or going to heaven. God's already picked them out. We'll just stand here and see what happens in the end. Then over on this side, there was another extreme where people are trying to get professions of faith, but like selling them something. Just if you'll say this, if you'll say this prayer, if you'll do this, if you'll do that. But beloved, listen, in the middle, Paul's standing in the middle. We're laborers together with God. Let me say this to you. God could do it without us, but he doesn't choose to. That ought to humble us. He chooses to use the likes of us. in His work. But I'll tell you this, God could do it without us, but we couldn't do it without Him. There's nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I believe that tonight. Amen. And so we're opposed because of the work. In verse number 10 and 11, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. Paul was looking forward to seeing Timothy, wasn't he? And he knew that Timothy was involved in the work. We need his grace in the opposition. We're opposed because of the work. And then I want to say this, two things quickly. We that are opposed need to watch. Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And beloved, listen, when Sanballat and Tobiah come down there and they were trying to get them to come down off of the wall, trying to get them to stop building, stop doing the work, Nehemiah said, we're doing a great work so that I cannot come down. You know what Nehemiah did? He set a watch. Beloved, listen, he didn't turn his back on the enemy. I tell you, I say this again to dads and papals. It's our responsibility to watch for our family, to set a watch. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. We need the grace of God, and we see it in the offering. We see it in the opening, but we also see the grace of our Lord Jesus, beloved, in opposing. We see we can oppose the foe, the enemy, because we are opposed because of the work. And we that are, beloved, listen, opposed, we need to watch in verse number 13. But let me give you this, and I'm finished tonight. We that are opposed need to worship. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 19. Well, let me go back and look at verse 17 down through 19. Paul said, I am glad. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Again, Paul's mentioning individuals. Watch this now. He said, for they refreshed my spirit. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been around someone that was refreshing to be around? They refreshed my spirit. Watch what the Bible said. And yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Look at verse 19. Here's where I see the worship. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house. You know what I believe, Brother Steve? These pictures that I have and that's going on, they're holding up their New Testaments. You know what I believe? Now, you can say whatever you want to, but Brother Gary, I believe they're going to go home and read them. This thing they've got's precious. It's going to be like a love letter to them. Amen. It's going to be personal. It's in their language. It's something they've never been exposed to before in their life. And with that word comes light. And with that light comes life. Amen. And I believe, beloved, listen, it ain't going to be long. They're going to find themselves worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He too has delivered them, beloved, from the opposition and from the enemy. Amen. And they're going to be giving. Watch this now. I never shall forget going to a mission church. I told you about it in New Mexico. And the mission church took on a missionary. You say, Pastor, it shouldn't work that way. There'd be a lot of things that you'd think shouldn't work that way if we'd let God have His way. Amen, in our hearts and in our lives. So we see He's closing out this book. With the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul could love them. He saw the offering. He saw the opening. He saw the opposition. But above all of that, he saw the one that loved him. That's why Paul would say in the book of Galatians, we'll get to that one day, that's going to be fun. God forbid that I should glory, save. That word means accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. How many is glad you come tonight? How many believes God wants us to see the grace of God? Amen. The Apostle Paul said this is a token in every epistle. I hope that'll be a token in your life and a token in my life. An old preacher said years ago, I never have forgotten it. Brother Junior, he said, God's people die well. Think about that. God's people die well. Amen. I've witnessed it over and over and over again. Amen. Appreciate you coming.